Welcome to Building My Legacy Podcast. This podcast is designed for leaders and entrepreneurs who want to leave a legacy and will provide strategies that focus upon key elements for legacy creation, determining your desired impact and its benefit, increasing your legacy's reach by engaging key stakeholders, planning, prioritizing, and executing. Here's your host, Dr. Lois Sonstegard.
Welcome, everybody, to today's Building My Legacy podcast. I have with me a delightful person, meets none of your stereotypes, actually, because she comes out of a legal training background and is in the money management business and is this warm, wonderful, caring person. So an interesting context that she fits herself into. Kim Curtis is our guest today. She's the best-selling author of Money Secrets, Keys to Smart Investing, and a brand new book on retirement secrets. And I think for many, what is the secret to retirement? I think we're beginning to hear that more now with what's going on in the economy. Is there a secret? Is there a retirement? She's also a nationally recognized wealth management advisor. She's president and CEO of Wealth Legacy Institute. She's won awards. She has been recognized and published in the Wall Street Journal, for example, recognized in the Journal of Practical Estate Planning, and won the Editor's Choice Award, and the list goes on. So, Kim, it's wonderful to have you with us, and just share with the audience, please, how you got into this. What an interesting journey you've been on.
Oh, man. Thank you, Lois. I appreciate that. And thanks for having me. I appreciate that. Whoa. So my journey, you know, having a legal background and a financial background and being a woman in finance has been a wild, wild ride. So how did I get here? I actually want to take a step back a little bit and tell you that when I was a teenager, my parents got divorced and my mom got full custody of three teenage daughters. I'm the middle of three. And she had no employable skills at the time. So she applied for and received, and I got government assisted school lunches. And they gave you a little red, just like a little red ticket that I had to give to the cashier in the lunch line every day for 5 days a week that was shame, who am I, my mom can't pay for lunch, I'm a poor kid. You know what this, you know, the story goes on and on. And that belief that I had in who I was and shame around money was so big. However, my mom said to the three of us that you had to get your education because no one could take it away from you. So of course I went to college, you know, and then went to law school and then defaulted on my school loans. So I was my own money shit show in my own world of my 20s. And to then say, here I am, with the CEO of a multimillion dollar wealth management firm is shocking. But I had something that was unusual. When I defaulted on my school loans, I had an anonymous gift where someone paid $1,000 on my school loan. And I didn't know, like all of a sudden the balance went down, not up. And that act of love that someone believed in me more than I believed in my own self, that is probably what started my own self-respect that allowed me to then focus on what I really wanted to do with my life and become very disciplined and clear on really making a difference in where I showed up. And I showed up, my legal background is negotiation, mediation, arbitration, and I used those skills and moved when I turned 30 into finance. And was very clear about what I wanted in life. And so here I am today. I mean, is that just crazy?
It is crazy. And you know what just hits me so much when I hear your story, it takes one person and sometimes it's just a small little intervention. I'm sure to the person who put in the $1,000, it was probably a small investment on their part at that time. And, but it made, you went on the elbow, you went from going this way downwards to going sideways and then upwards, right? And that's what we so often need.
Paying it forward. You know, that there's another end to that story. And 10 years out, I did eventually find out who it was. And it was somebody I knew. It was a woman that was about 15 years older than me. And 10 years later, I went to look her up. And I found her. And she was still in Denver, where I live today. And went to her house. And she was having a yard sale that weekend because she was moving back to Pennsylvania, where she grew up. And she was selling all of her possessions.
Because and financially, she was in need.
Yes. And in my pocket was an envelope for $5,000 to give her as interest of the gift she gave me. And couldn't have happened at a better time. And I'm not sure how all of that works, the fact that I happened to look her up, that the timing was that weekend, that I hadn't seen her in 10 years. And I just, that's what I mean by paying it forward is, what, like you said, it's like a ripple, you know, like a drop in the water, and how many lives get changed as a result of someone's act of kindness and giving and receiving, which is a natural law, which I think is one of the laws of money and success. Is we have human made laws, which is what I do every day in financial planning and investment management and tax mitigation and structuring portfolios. But you also need natural law, such as giving and receiving that we just described.
So, Kim, let's talk a little bit about those financial pillars of success. What are they? What is it? What are they? And then what are the biggest mistakes people make?
You know, it's funny. The biggest mistake that people make is not believing in themselves.
Oh.
It's an inner job, not an outer job. Because capital markets don't fail. It's the human behavior that scares people that fails. They exit the capital markets, like right now. The markets are frenetic and chaotic, and the likelihood that we may enter a recession is high. But that's not the time to panic. That's the time to tie that to a financial plan so that you know what your numbers truly look like. Because otherwise, if you invest without a financial plan, you have no roadmap. So all you're doing, it's like archery without a target. So when your portfolio goes down, hypothetically 20%, and you don't have that tied to a financial plan, you are afraid. You have no idea what the impact is to you. But if you tie it to a financial plan, you realize, oh, I am still on track for my retirement objectives. I can weather this storm because ebbing and flowing, another natural law, that's what happens with the capital markets. And if we understand long-term what those goals are, then we can weather the scariness of what happens short-term. So one is managing yourself. Two is having a financial plan. Three is making sure that the person you work with is your fiduciary, like a CPA or a lawyer. And quite frankly, Lois, only 10% of people who say they give advice out there in money is a fiduciary. The other 90% are in sales.
So let's explain. What is a fiduciary? Because I think some people may not understand that.
Yeah, that's fair, because that word is such a big word. It's really when they have your best interests at all times and all transactions versus someone in sales, that their standard of care is suitability. Is the investment suitable for you versus is this the best investment? And the conflicts of interest associated with that. And what happened in the last couple of years in the nature of my industry is that best interest term has been bandied about with the Securities Exchange Commission that has made it confusing for individual consumers and investors. So I think the best way to understand who's a fiduciary and who is not, who has your best interest at all times, is someone that is not affiliated with a broker dealer or a bank. And is considered a registered investment advisory firm, RIA. But the most, to get rid of all of that, just have them sign a fiduciary oath, which we have one on our website. And if they don't want to sign it, then you know that they're not working for you. in all transactions. So that's the easiest way, instead of going through all the legal stuff of whatever, is say, are you my fiduciary at all times in all transactions? And I want you to sign this. And if they don't, then you know.
Wow. Okay. So now let's get to...
Yes.
How do you help people develop a plan, an investment plan?
You know, if you were to think of a pyramid, kind of like Maslow's hierarchy of needs, the bottom of that pyramid is managing money. That's why people come to firms like mine, is they have money, they want to invest it. And they want to invest it for the longer term, like retirement or education funding. So after that, if you go up on that pyramid, is goal achievement, which we already just talked about, the retirement or education funding or whatever that is. You have to put those two together, as I mentioned earlier, because without it, it's a failed plan. Investing without a plan is hard. Once you put those two together and you go up that pyramid, is lifestyle. Money for most people is frenetic. It's all over. But if you could have that plan and put that down below, so it's your foundation, all of a sudden you have this clear vision to be able to focus on the things you love and enjoy.
So what I'm hearing you say, which is unique in many ways, is the money just simply supports the lifestyle.
Yeah. And to have it down here as a foundation is peace of mind. And once you have peace of mind, then the pinnacle of that pyramid is impact or legacy. So once you have peace of mind, you can think about all the things. Why are we here? What do you want to do with your life? How do you use money for good? You know, how does that fit in with what your role is on this planet? And that's the holy grail. I mean, if you can get money where it's your foundation through planning, then you have that peace of mind to have big vision. And when you have big vision, you can write the life of your dreams. And for many, they may not be able to do that until they hit retirement, because they have then the time to really follow their passions and purpose.
So we talked a little bit about why people don't do this. One was they don't believe in themselves, right? Mm-hmm. What else? What else keeps people from that? Or is that really the primary one?
Mindset is absolutely the primary obstacle to long-term success. We are what we think we are. And that gets back to my original story. How you do money is how you do life. So if you put your head in the ground around money, you're putting your head in the ground around other things in life.
Oh, interesting. That is fascinating.
So that's why you can't ignore it. You can't push it aside. I hate to say that, but mindset is the number one starting place of believing in yourself to a place where you want to make a difference. You know, if you think about like that inner workup, your money makeup in my original story, my money makeup was shame that I didn't deserve it, that it was other people who had my money, not me. But when I recognized that I was telling myself a story that was not the story I wanted to have, that gave me a choice point. It's kind of like, do you remember the old fable of the three blind men?
Yes.
And the elephant? And the elephant?
Yes.
So right, the one guy, you know, grabs the leg and he thinks it's a wall. The other blind man grabs the tail and he thinks it's a rope. And the third blind man grabs, the leg, and he thinks it's a tree. So it's, and they're all right. But what is their perception on that? It's kind of like, what lens do you wear on your eyes? No one else can put on your glasses, only you. So if you understand what lens, what your story is that you're telling yourself, then it's easier to give yourself a different story. So for me, I was thinking lack, sorrow, failure, fear around money, instead of success, prosperity, happiness. And that's when I made the choice point to switch. And when I made that point to switch, then I had a singular purpose and desire. And that desire is what allowed me to have the success that I have today. And I mean, it sounds crazy simple, but crazy hard to do. We all have the ability to have enormous success and prosperity around money. Shoot, if I can do it, Lois, are you kidding me?
Then
anyone can. Anyone. And it doesn't matter the age.
How did you go? I think that, you know, that's true of retirement planning. It's true of many things. So you rewrote your story or wrote it in a different way. And then you set out to become that story. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yes, that is true.
Tell us that process. How did you do that?
Purpose driven.
Okay.
You know, I was singularly driven on knowing that I was going to make a difference in my life and make a difference for others. And so that I knew what I wanted. That's the second thing, right? So that's the second thing. And then the third is a singleness of purpose.
So you went after it. You didn't let life stop you or your story, your old story stop you.
Yeah. Yes. And what's around that is really, then you need mental discipline. Because if you don't, we have all these messages coming into us every single day. We're like a little radio transmitter. You're not enough. You're not good enough. Blah, 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 blah. And you have to have that mental discipline to know you deserve it. You want happiness, joy, and prosperity and good health. And that single-mindedness of pick one at a time, because otherwise you diffuse your energy.
Right.
But one thing at a time, and then absolutely believe that you're going to get it. And here I am today.
You're amazing. So I mean,
but it's hard work. You have to manage yourself daily.
Everything is hard work. If you want to move on, it's hard work. And I think one of the sad things, Kim, that I see in today's world, I think especially with digital marketing, is the thing of, well, I'm going to have a laptop life. I'm going to sit on the beach, do my work occasionally, but mostly I'm going to have fun. Well, the reality is that isn't life.
No. And, you know, I want to make sure that for the listeners and the viewers that we kind of clarify a little bit, because when you're in alignment, it's not hard work.
Got it. Okay.
It's practice. And when you're in alignment with who you are, that practice becomes like you get in the flow. Like it's easier when you're in flow. And I think that's really important when we think of that hierarchy of that Maslow's, but I talked about the planning. When you get to impact, the pinnacle of that, then you're in flow and it does come easier to you because you're following what you love to do. It's like when we lose track of time. We could be in the garden and completely lose track of time because we love what we're doing. We're in flow. And I think that's really important, whether that lifestyle of the laptop entrepreneur or others, if that is their flow and they're in alignment and they're changing the world through their efforts for good, dang, how awesome is that?
Then it works. Okay.
Yeah, I think that's really the distinction.
Okay. Being in flow, being
in alignment
with yourself. Yeah, that alignment. Mm-hmm. So let's shift just a little bit. For those of you who are listening, by the way, Kim has offered an incredible bonus, but not just one, two. And you'll learn about them at the end of the podcast. So stay tuned until the very end, because we'll share with you what those are. One of the areas that you look at and talk about your new book, which is on retirement and that retirement life.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about how did you, I mean, in a sense, it fits with what you do with financial planning, but what really took you into that focus on retirement?
Thank you for asking me that. I so appreciate that because my first book is Money Secrets, Keys to Smart Investing. And that pulls back the curtain on the billion-dollar financial services industry to reveal why smart people make bad investment mistakes. So that book is 120 pages of meat. And at the end of each chapter, it's questions you should ask yourself or questions you should ask a potential advisor. So it arms you with all the questions you need to be in control when you're interviewing people like me. So that was the book completely in alignment with what I do, right? And then I had, in a matter of 2 months, 3 different clients come to me that were nearing retirement. And they said, Kim, do you have a book that is not money related necessarily around retirement, but more lifestyle related. And I thought, huh. So of course, being a data person that I am and a researcher, which I know sometimes you don't realize that from me because I sound over here sometimes on the qualitative side versus the quantitative side. But I realized, so I bought all these books and read them. And there were about three that were not bad. There was one that I really enjoyed, but it was written terribly. And so I took that idea of that book and did Retirement Secrets, Keys to Retiring Happy, Healthy, and Free. And what I realized as a result of this research and these clients that asked me these questions is we spend all our time and energy saving, get the hamster wheel of work to get to, you know, retirement this day. And then we step off and there's nothing that helps us on the other side of this, particularly in my field, you know, as practitioners of retirement planning. So what this book is really about is from save the transition from saving to living in. And I love that transition from saving to living in retirement. And what does that look like? And believe it or not, it has nothing to do with money because you could have all the money in the world and have a failed retirement.
Okay. Talk about that a little bit.
Right. So how do we have a successful retirement? And it's some of these things, Lois, that we've been actually talking about today is what is your vision for yourself? What is your purpose? Why are you here on this planet? And so it goes through some exercises of what is your passion and to help you get a better understanding of where do you want to spend your time. There's also a checklist in there on relocating, you know, all the things you need to look at to find that perfect location that fits in alignment with who you are. There's a section on health and that your new job is to work out every day like you did with work, because if you're not moving, you're dying. And there's a lot of data in there on health and purpose and vision. And then there's this whole lots and lots of pages of things to do in retirement. And you can go through and cross it off, or check. And then prioritize. And that's in that free gift that we talked about, that it allows you to work through that exercise really quickly and get a better idea of concentrating on how you want to spend your time. What does that ideal calendar and perfect life look like for you? Because happiness does not retire. And how do you make sure that you continue to have that happiness? And obviously the number one thing is health. Because if you can't move or be mobile, then that impacts some of the joy.
Isn't that the truth? You know what's interesting, Kim, is it all comes back to you as a person. It can't be somebody else's definition of a good retirement or lifestyle. You have to know who you are in your own skin and be comfortable. And I think for many people, that's their new discovery when they retire is they're suddenly alone with themselves and they haven't figured that one out yet. So then what?
Absolutely. Particularly couples. I mean, think about it. You may, depending on which side, whether two couples worked or one stayed at home and also the other one's in your space. I think a number one job that we do as practitioners is navigating those conversations with couples to make sure that they each have their own individual objectives and then the collective. And the book actually has several chapters in there on couples conversations to have that unfold for them so that they're on the same page. Because that is actually one of the number one issues is addressing couples and how they navigate that and have their own identity as well as a collective identity.
Right.
Because particularly females, I'll just speak what I see is they don't want to cook three meals a day for a spouse that's all of a sudden home. You get your own lunch. You know, or I'm not going to entertain you with my friends. You find your own friends. So those are some of the conversations that couples have and then collective interests. I have a client who he's into antique cars. So he likes to go to those antique shows and drive the car and they sit there for the weekend and she hates it. Absolutely hates it. So how does he be able to get what he wants? By going to those antique car shows. And she gets what she needs to be fulfilled and have joy. So they've figured out how to do that. She'll go, but she's not going to sit there with him while he talks to all his buddies or all the other guys that have interest in it. And she shops or does different things. And that sounds so stereotypical. That's not how I mean it, but that's her specific thing.
Yeah.
So
you're a therapist.
American, no, absolutely not. But my mediation and facilitation skills come in very handy
when
it comes to couples navigating difficult conversations. Absolutely.
You also shared a little bit about your mom. And would you mind sharing that with the audience? Because I think that is part of that retirement piece. People worry about it, but we don't talk about it. So if you would please share that.
Yes. So many people, when they transition to retirement, may also be taking care of an aging parent. And they may have some college-age students at the same time. So they call it the sandwich thing generation. I, as you and I talked about earlier in the green room, that I lost my mom this year. And my older sister and I'm in the business, and we still missed certain things that were important. And so my older sister and I put together this aging parent checklist. And it is 26 plus pages. I hope that we're giving that as a free gift. I'll let you do. I hope so.
So those of you who are listening, this is one of your bonus gifts. It will be in the show notes for you to download. Yeah.
And one of the things, it goes as deep as what is, and asking your aging parent, what music do you like that you want to hear or listen to? So we put together a playlist for my mom when it got to a point where she couldn't articulate what she wanted. Ah, and she was able to hear her beautiful music.
Wow. So it's getting into the details of what is it that will make each day meaningful for you, for your loved one, your spouse, your mom, your dad, when their life is nearing its end. And you're right. A lot of times at that point, they no longer are thinking about that. They're just surviving, and they know it's the end. And so there's that disconnect, but they want to connect, and you want to connect, and you want those moments when it's all over to be able to look back and say, yes, it was a sweet, sweet time.
Yes. And so that's like deep, but we also have the financial questions to ask, or what to look for or to find or to make sure is in place, making sure that there are beneficiaries on bank accounts or other types of investments and some beneficiaries that you want to have. But the bigger questions around it's really actually, again, back to those difficult conversations to have, like we just talked about, to also have with your aging parent. When you can no longer articulate for yourself what's more important, living longer, doing everything they can to keep you alive, or not to get resuscitated or to have incubation. So difficult conversations, but you want to know, like, how far do they want to go? Because many don't want to go that far. They've had a great life already, and they don't want, if they end up in a hospital, to have them keep them alive. They want to stay at home. And so then you have to do a lot of other things to keep them at home and safe. So big questions. It was really hard. But as a result of that, the good work of that is this aging parent checklist that we put together.
And for those of you who are listening, it is Kim's gift to you, an incredible gift. And as long as I'm talking about you,
yeah, we might as well.
She also has a wonderful retirement planning workbook, right? That that's part of her book on retirement secrets that she is making available to you. So please, please, please make those available to yourself. Go through them and do them. And then if you do have questions for Kim, do get in contact with her. I encourage you to do that, because there's nothing more valuable than planning.
Let me give you the URLs for those that are listening and they can write it down versus waiting for show notes. But the aging parent checklist is exactly at that, aging parent agingparentchecklist.com. Okay. Agingparentchecklist.com. And that's for that guide. And then the Retirement Secrets workbook that is filled with all kinds of different activities to help you clarify what's important for you in retirement. That is at financialliteracypress.com. Financialliteracypress.com.
Okay, so we'll have that financialliteracypress.com. That will also be in the show notes for you. So please, please take a look at that. Kim, what have we missed? Our time goes far too fast. You are, I feel like I'm challenged and stretched when I talk to you. So it's wonderful.
Oh, thank you. I think the biggest takeaway from everything that we've shared today is that there's no amount of rate of return that can create an extraordinary life. No amount of money, no amount of rate of return can create an extraordinary life. It's really up to us and to work on the inner versus the outer. Because, how did we say this in the beginning? How you do money is how you do life. So show up. Show up so that you can have an extraordinary life.
Oh, I love that. Show up and have an extraordinary life. And yeah, the money is the foundation on which you build that extraordinary life. Mm. Kim, you are remarkable. And thank you so much for being with us. Remember, there are two books, Money Secrets, Key to Smart Investing, and then the second, Retirement Secrets. You can get both of those at Amazon.com. And remember, you have two marvelous bonus gifts. Download them and do the work. Kim, thank you so much for being with us today on Building My Legacy podcast.
You're welcome, Lois. Thank you.
And for those of you who are listening today, thank you for being with us. And remember to visit our websites at buildtomorrow.com with the number 2 and our newest, startwithcollaboration.com. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Building My Legacy podcast with Dr. Lois Sonstegard. To book your appointment with Dr. Sonstegard, visit www.buildtomorrow.com.